بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله. Tonight is the 13th of December in the year 2017. Alhamdulillah, we moved on to the second night that we're going through the illustrious life of the exalted sword of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina Khalid ibn al-Walid radiyallahu. And yesterday, the last thing I mentioned was his maternal side, who his beloved mother was, and who were her illustrious sisters. And as mentioned by the blessed scholars, these were the greatest in-laws who were honored above others. And one thing I should have mentioned, which I forgot, that I mentioned that some of his maternal cousins were Muhammad ibn Abu Bakr and Yahya ibn Ali radiyallahu anhuma. And their illustrious mother was Asma radiyallahu anhu. So she was first married to Ja'far. So Abdullah ibn Ja'far was the maternal cousin of Khalid bin Walid. But after Ja'far was martyred radiyallahu anhu, Asma radiyallahu anha, she married Abu Bakr and she was blessed with a son. So the son became the first cousin of Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu anha. And Abu Bakr passed away radiyallahu anha. This noble woman married Sayyidina Ali. And Ali was blessed with a son and whom he called Yahya. So this is how they became the first cousins of Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu anha. So the next section is entitled, His Tribe and Early Upbringing. The clan of the Quraysh, to which Khalid bin Walid belonged, radiyallahu anhu, were responsible for matters of war. This clan, i.e. the Bani Makhzum, bred and trained the horses on which the Quraysh rode to war. And it also made arrangements for the preparation and provisioning of expeditions. So simply put, the tribe to which he belonged, Banu Makhzum, they were responsible for the Quraysh's military matters, i.e. the expenditure, the steeds, the ammunition, etc. Sayyidina Khalid's father, Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, was the chief of Banu Makhzum. He thus imbibed into his magnificent son, radiyallahu, all the virtues of Arab manhood, courage, fighting prowess, and generosity. Sayyidina Khalid ibn Walid radiyallahu thus became an all-out master in matters relating to warfare. He could break untrained horses and learn to fight also upon such unruly animals. This is mentioned. So obviously the normal scenario to break an untrained horse is, of course, you need ropes, people trained, strong, etc., etc. Safety checks need to be in place. He would break horses by himself. And he also learned to fight upon these animals. He'd just use them, get on them, and steady them immediately. He became an expert wrestler and mastered the use of the spear, lance, bow, and of course, the sword. So his wrestling prowess was amazing. And he wasn't just amazing with the sword. He was an all-out master with regards to different, you know, armaments. As Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu grew into manhood, he attained a great height, over 6 feet. His shoulders widened, his chest expanded, and the muscles hardened on his lean and athletic body. The Almighty and Glorious was preparing his noble servant, radiyallahu anhu. So, to quote a few proofs, Hafiz ibn Abd al-Barr rahmatullahi in his Al-Istiyab 1-406, Hafiz ibn al-Athir in his Asadul Ghaba 2-93, Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu was a high-ranking member of the Quraysh and responsible for the duties of Al-Qubba, i.e. gathering of funds and supplies for the Quraysh's army, and also Al-A'inna, commanding the cavalry in battle. So in the respected sources, he would basically gather funds for the battles of the Quraysh, and also he would be leading the cavalry. Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullah alayhi said in Al-Isabah 1-413, Sayyidina Khalid ibn Walid radiyallahu led the Quraysh's cavalry in the battle of Uhud, fighting alongside the Makkans up until Umratul Qada. So this is famous. Why was he leading the cavalry in the campaign of Uhud? That was his duty. And he did this up to the famous compensatory Umrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. While Hafiz Farsi rahmatullah alayhi said in Al-Iqd Al-Zamin 4-29, in fact, he was in charge of their cavalry on the day the Al-Hudaybiyyah treaty was signed. So some of the ulama said even when the treaty was signed, he was in charge of the cavalry of the Quraysh. So the next section entitled The Faithful Wrestling Match. So first, with regards to his age, Hafiz Zahabi rahmatullah alayh in his Sir 1-264, he relates, Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu was born approximately 40 years prior to the Hijrah. Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu was born approximately 40 years prior to the Hijrah. So let's use some simple mathematics. Thus, this noble man radiyallahu was around 13 years junior to our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thus, when the Holy Prophet proclaimed the message sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Khalid bin Walid was around 27 years of age. Thus, upon the migration of our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was around 40 years of age. And upon the Holy Prophet's tragic passing sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was around 50 years of age. So this is important. Because your mind might be thinking, is he still in his 20s when the Prophet passed away? So you got to have this age when the Prophet proclaimed sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was 27. When the Prophet migrated, 40. When the Prophet passed away, he was 50. So this shows that he was well into all during the Prophet's phase, he was into his manhood, clearly, radiyallahu. During his youth, Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu was destined to have a faithful wrestling match. Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu and the tall youngster scanned and sized each other up. Slowly they began to move in a circle, the gaze of each fixed intently upon the other, each looking for an opening for his attack, and each wary of the tricks that the other might use. So picture the scene. Khalid and another person very similar to him, they're eyeing each other up, ready for a wrestling bout. There was no hostility in their eyes, just a keen rivalry and an unshakable determination to win. So even though they were determined to win, they didn't have any hatred for each other. Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu found it necessary to be extra cautious, for the tall youth was left-handed and thus enjoyed the advantage that all left-handers have over their opponents in any duel. So obviously, even if you look at the sports that people engage in, as soon as your opponent is left-handed, it makes things difficult because you've got to change the entire strategy. So Khalid radiyallahu anhu realized that his opponent on this occasion was left-handed, so he was showing more precaution. The two youths were the strongest of all and the leaders of their age. This match was, so to speak, about for the heavyweight title. The youths were well matched, around the same age. They were in their early teens. Both were tall, they were lean, and newly formed muscles ripped on their shoulders and arms as their sweating bodies glistened in the sun. The youth was slightly taller than Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu, and their faces were so similar that one would often be mistaken for the other. Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu then suddenly engaged and made a move as quick as lightning, and he threw the teenager. But this was no ordinary fall. As the tall boy fell, there was a distinct crack. And a moment later, the grotesquely twisted shape of his leg showed that the bone was broken. The stricken youth lay motionless on the ground. And Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu stared in horror at the broken leg of his dear cousin and friend. Alhamdulillah, in course of time, the injury healed, and the leg of the tall youngster became whole and strong again. These two were to thereupon continue to compete with each other in almost everything they did. The tall youth was indeed to play a most pivotal and integral role in the life of Khalid bin Walid, radiallahu anhu. But who was this cousin of this most noble man? Allahu Akbar. It was no other than the magnificent Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu. So, let's look at a few proofs. Hafiz ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayh, in his Al-Bidayah, in the chapter on those who died in the year 21 AH, Mujahid ibn Sa'id in his chain is commented upon. Imam Sha'bi rahmatullah alayh, he summed up the whole wrestling bout by mentioning, when they were youths, Sayyidina Umar and Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu anhuma wrestled with one another. Sayyidina Khalid was the son of Umar's maternal uncle, and he accidentally broke Umar radiyallahu anhu's leg. That was later treated and cured, but it became a bone of contention between them. So let's look at this. So Hafiz ibn Kathir, he records it in his monumental work, Al-Bidayah. But he mentions there's a weak person in the chain. However, it's not a hadith. It's a historical report. Doesn't affect our worship. It's not a point of fiqh or aqidah. But it's recorded. And the report mentions clearly that Khalid broke his leg. And there was a grudge now amongst them, born of contention. And it clearly mentions in the report how they were related. Khalid radiallahu anhu was the son of Umar's maternal uncle. Basically, Khalid, Umar radiallahu anhu's mother, was Khalid's paternal aunt, Poopy. Khalid bin Walid's father and Umar's mother were brother and sister. Right? So he's related to Umar through his father, not his mother. One can truly appreciate this incident if one is aware of the phenomenal strength of Sayyidina Umar. So what do we know about Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu? Hafiz Balazuri rahmatullah alayh, in his Kitab al-Ashraf, he mentions Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu used to wrestle in the market of Uqad, and he was an expert horse rider. He was able to ride the horse whilst merely jumping on it without the use of any stirrups. So let's look at these few facts and figures. First of all, he was the wrestler, and he wrestled in the market of Uqas. This is where the champions would go. And they would come and they would put their men forward. And Umar would floor them all in the market. He was also an expert horse rider. Look how similar they were. And he could jump onto the horse without any effort. And Sayyidina Umar, when he was the Khalif, he would later say that your fitness can be determined by the fact if you can get onto the horse without the use of any stirrups. But notice, he practiced what he preached. He himself was doing this. So think about that. He was an expert wrestler. So an expert wrestler took out another expert wrestler. It wasn't a normal thing. He caught him off guard, this and the other. The fact that Khalid threw him, broke his leg, very significant. Indeed, no other than our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself had described Sayyidina Umar as a strong man and ordered him to be careful when approaching the black stone. This is in Imam Ahmad in his Musnad with the Hassan chain. So Umar obviously used to tower over people. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, be careful when you go to the black stone. Because don't harm people, because you're a strong man. So who called him a strong man? Some commentator from WWF. Right? The Holy Prophet called him a strong man. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what did Khalid bin Walid do? Threw him. It was such an immense man whom Khalid had thrown. Subhanallah. So now their kinship. Imam Shabi said, Sayyidina Khalid ibn Walid was the son of Umar's maternal uncle. So let's put this simply so your mind can register this. Simply put, Umar radiallahu anhu's mother and Khalid radiallahu anhu's father were brother and sister. Thus, Al-Walid, Khalid's father, was Umar's mama, his maternal uncle. Whilst Umar's mother, radiallahu anhu, was Khalid's poopy, or paternal aunt. Thus, Umar radiallahu anhu is the paternal aunt's son of Khalid, his poopy's son. Whilst Khalid radiallahu anhu is the maternal uncle's son of Umar, mama's son. Thus, Umar radiallahu anhu was related to the Banu Makhzum tribe through his mother, not his father. So he's not from the Makhzum tribe, Banu Makhzum. One of the brothers mentioned yesterday that he's from Banu Makhzum, that's his mother. But the lineage goes to the father. Hence, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu is related to Umar through his father and Abdullah ibn Abbas through his mother. Look how strange this is. His first cousin, Abdullah ibn Abbas, that's through his mother. His first cousin, through his father, Sayyidina Umar. So look at these amazing cousins that Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid got radiallahu anhu. Subhanallah, such blood ties between such august and venerable personalities. Another thing which is important to point out, Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl, his real name is Abu al-Hatim. That actually translates the father of wisdom. But after he did what he did, he was called the father of ignorance, Abu Jahl. How was he related to Khalid bin Walid? He was his uncle's son, paternal uncle's son, Chacha's son. Abu Jahl's father is Hisham. Abu Jahl ibn Hisham, Walid and Hisham are brothers. So look how interesting, Khalid bin Walid's cousin is Umar and his other cousin is Abu Jahl. So let's move on. The next section entitled The Proclamation of Prophethood and the Tragic Fate of Khalid bin Walid's father Al-Walid ibn Mughira. When our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started to proclaim the truth in those early years, Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu's father was the first or one of the first to react defiantly. What did he say? In Ibn al-Mundhir, Ibn Jarir, Ibn Hisham in his Seerah, Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Kathir, Seerah, volume 2, page 35 of the English translation. It is related that Al-Walid ibn Mughira, Khalid bin Walid's father, Al-Walid said, does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give revelation to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and not to me? Even though I am the chief and leader of the Quraysh, and he subhanahu wa ta'ala also ignores Abu Mas'ud Amr ibn Amr al-Thaqafi, the chief of Thaqif, even though we are the greatest men of the two cities. When he said this, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, he revealed in Surah Al-Zukhruf, Surah 43, verse 31-2. وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِّنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ. And they say, why is not this Qur'an sent down to some leading man in either of the two cities? أَهُمْ يَقْسِمُونَ رَحْمَةَ رَبِّكَ. Is it they who would portion out the mercy of your Lord? Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So what did Khalid bin Walid's father say when the Prophet received revelation? Imagine. He goes, why has he got revelation? Because he's my nephew. I'm the chief. If I didn't get it, then why didn't Abu Mas'ud not get it, who's the chief of Thaqif? Where the two great ones. When he said that, who was he really finding fault with? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah the Almighty and Glorious responded, first by quoting him. He quotes them. They say, why is not this Quran sent down to some leading man in either of the two cities, Makkah or Taif? Is it they who would portion out the mercy of your Lord? In other words, is it up to them who I choose? So straight away you notice he started on a bad footing. If you start on this footing, and Allah has revealed the verse basically telling you off, you know you're in trouble. As matters got progressively worse for the Quraysh, Al-Walid ibn Mughira decided to take a bold step. He decided to offer his own son, Khalid ibn Walid's older brother, Ammar, to Abu Talib in return for his nephew, our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ammar was a fine, strapping youth, in whom all saw the virtues and graces of young manhood. In Ibn Sa'd in his Tabaqat, page 186, Ibn Hisham in his Seerah, volume 1, page 267, it is related. The Quraysh delegation approached Abu Talib with Ammar, Ibn Walid ibn Mughira. And they said, "O Abu Talib, he is Ammar ibn al-Walid. He is the finest of youths amongst the Quraysh, and the handsomest and the noblest of all. Take him as your son. He will help you and be yours as any would be. But in return, give us the son of your brother, your nephew, the one who has turned against your faith and the faith of your fathers and has caused dissension in our tribe. We shall kill him. Is that not fair? A man for a man." Abu Talib was shocked and he responded, "I do not think this is fair at all. You give me your son to feed and bring up, whilst you want my son to be killed. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this shall never happen." Let's look at this. Look how strange. So now, who is offering his son? Al-Walid. And this is what the others would do. They would just say, "Yeah, he's your son now." And they would literally become his son. "He's become your son. He becomes your son." Then they make a proclamation. "Here's my son." Everybody register that. And they treat him like their son. They don't find it strange. So when they offered it, it wasn't a symbolic. He actually meant, "He's your son now. He's noble, he's handsome, this, that, and the other. But give us your nephew." Meaning, "I'm giving you my son. You're not giving me your son, you give me your nephew. That's the deal. And you look after our son, we'll kill your nephew. Because he's causing divisions." So Abu Talib, his response was very interesting. First he said, he goes, "How can that be fair?" Then he didn't call the Prophet his nephew. He goes, "You give me your son to feed and bring up whilst you want my son to be killed." Told him his son. Now why did Abu Talib call the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam his son? Because that was his only full uncle. Abdul Muttalib had 10 sons. The grandfather of the Prophet had 10 sons. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet's father was called Abdullah, radiallahu anhu. The only other full brother of Abdullah who shared the same mother was Abu Talib. The other 9 were the uncles of the Prophet, but they weren't his full uncles. Hamza was his uncle, but his mother wasn't his mother. You understand? Right? It's only Abu Talib. So that's why Abdul Muttalib told Abu Talib, "Look after my nephew, look after my grandson," meaning that you're his full father. So here, notice, he said that, "I'm not going to give you my son." The unholy mission was failed. We do not know how Ammar reacted to the failure of the plan with disappointment or relief. Imagine, this is how obedient the sons were. The son didn't say, "Father, don't I get a say in this?" Khalid ibn Walid didn't jump in, say, "Father, he's a man, you shouldn't, you know, make decisions on his behalf." Look how obedient they were. But we don't know how he reacted. Imagine, either with relief or with disappointment. And of course, imagine Khalid ibn Walid looking at this. The other thing which I should have mentioned, Walid ibn Mughira had many sons. So Khalid ibn Walid had many sons. And as mentioned in the Quran, which we mentioned at the relevant time. Subhanallah, in those early years, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, would use his own blessed dwelling as a hub to invite others to the glorious truth. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, radiallahu anhu, Hafiz Zahabi, rahmatullahi alayhi, in his Seer 2-140, the Quraysh were familiar with Abu Bakr's dwelling for 2 reasons, radiallahu anhu. Firstly, his considerable knowledge, and secondly, his hospitality. Thus, when Abu Bakr became a Muslim, radiallahu, all those who were closely associated with him also accepted Islam. Let us look at this. So Abu Bakr, some say he was the first to embrace Islam, but he was amongst the first, definitely, radiallahu. But the people loved his house. They loved to go to his house. Why? Two reasons. What two things make a perfect host? One is knowledge, and the other is generosity. He was full of that. He knew lineage as well. So he would say, look, this is how you're related, and this is how we're tied up, and this, that, and the other. So they loved to go to him. But when he became Muslim, he is now using his house as a hub, inviting people to Islam. And Ibn Abbas said, many did become Muslim because of that. Consider our beloved mother Sayyida Aisha's words, radiyallahu anha, in Ibn Ishaq, Al-Bidayah, volume 3, page 29, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 1, page 129 of the New English Translation. Our beloved mother Sayyida Aisha said, radiyallahu anha, Abu Bakr embraced Islam, radiyallahu anha. He then met Uthman ibn Affan, Talha ibn Ubaidullah, Zubair ibn al-Awwam, Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas, radiyallahu ta'ala, all of whom embraced Islam at his hands. The following day, Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu met Uthman ibn Maz'un, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, Abu Salama ibn Abdul Asad, and Arkam ibn Abil Arkam, radiyallahu ta'ala, all of whom also readily embraced Islam. So now, if you know anything about what this means, it means that nobody's going to beat him now. He's done them all by the second day. So imagine on the second day what's been recorded for him. So all of these became one of his good deeds. So somebody goes to you, go through the entire biography of Uthman ibn Affan, I want to go through it, and you go through it and you're blown away. And somebody goes at the end of it, all of that is one good deed of Abu Bakr. And the person goes, I can't believe that. Well, whether you don't believe it or not, that's the reality. Right? Talha ibn Ubaidullah, let's go through all his life. And you're blown away. That's one of his good deeds. I can't believe that. Not bother what you think, brother. Subhanallah, six of the blessed 10 promised paradise in their very lifetimes had embraced Islam through his early efforts. And thus all became one good deed of Abu Bakr, radiyallahu. Despite all the awesome virtues these magnificent men had accumulated through their majestic lives. Allahu Akbar. Truly mind-blowing. Hence, Abu Bakr Siddiq, radiyallahu, holds a unique and most incredible honor that many a mountain had embraced Islam through no other than his blessed exhortations. So let's look briefly who these people are. Uthman ibn Affan, radiyallahu. The Prophet ﷺ gave two of his daughters in marriage to him. The only man in human history to have married two daughters of a Prophet was Uthman, radiyallahu. Talha ibn Ubaidullah, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever wants to look at a living martyr, look at Talha. He's alive, but he's also a martyr, radiyallahu. Zubair ibn al-Awwam, the Prophet ﷺ said in Bukhari and Muslim, every prophet has a special disciple. My special disciple is Zubair ibn al-Awwam, radiyallahu. Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas, the Prophet ﷺ said, here is my maternal uncle, show me your uncles. The night of Islam. Uthman ibn Maz'un, he's the foster brother of the Prophet, cousin of the Prophet, the first of his family to pass away in Medina, buried in Jannat al-Baqi. Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, the Prophet ﷺ said, every ummah has an amin, an extremely trustworthy person, and the one who's the amin from my ummah is Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, radiyallahu. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that he's one of the elite 10 promised paradise, and he also said ﷺ, to his wives, only the sincere ones will look after you after I pass away. And Aisha says, it's Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, because he looked after this so much. May Allah give him sal-sabil in paradise. Abu Salama ibn Abdul Asad, who's the first husband of Salama, the mother of the believers. He was martyred shortly after the Battle of Uhud, and his widow married the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Arkam ibn Abil Arkam, that's the dwelling, when you go to do Sa'i between Safa and Marwa. His dwelling was on Safa. That's where the people would get together and the Prophet would preach. This companion is one good deed of Abu Bakr radiyallahu. So note, Abu Bakr radiyallahu, he was set in the standard. But how? A person goes, why was everybody embracing Islam at his hands? The reason is because it was his dwelling. Now, why have I mentioned here Abu Bakr? Because subhanAllah, Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu's father, the chief of Banu Makhzum, Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, almost embraced Islam, was in the blessed dwelling of Abu Bakr. Think about that. He was almost there. But something happened. Let me mention that tomorrow. So think about that. Abu Bakr Siddiq almost got it, radiyallahu anhu. But some shaitan got in the way. We'll mention that tomorrow, inshallah. So all I mentioned today was basically now Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid talking a little bit about how he grew into manhood, what he was responsible for by the Quraysh, i.e. for matters of war. He was leading the cavalry. And then I mentioned that he had a fateful wrestling match with Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu. And that became a bone of contention, the ulama mentioned. And then I mentioned that, of course, that sadly, Khalid bin Walid's father was destined to die as an unbeliever. However, he almost embraced Islam. And Abu Bakr had the honor of his conversion as well. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وأتوب إلى الله من شر الشيطان سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون السلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والأصل إن الإنسان لفي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات واصبر الحق واصبر الصبر صدق الله العظيم